Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So, I'm very happy that I can visit Austria once again. I haven't been here for several years now, and Sylvester and his family asked me to come, and I'm very happy that I come here. I've been here many times, and I'm very happy to see all of you. Some of you I've met before, some of you I haven't. They've given, you know, I travel a lot. I travel very fast. So I travel, I stay one place for 2-3 days, then another 2-3 days, and then another 2-3 days, like this. And so they asked me to tell what I want to talk. And I'm lazy. So I say, you just make something up and I will try to work on that. So I don't have, I also don't know what base to talk about, because you don't know the people who will come and things like that. So I asked people to make it, and he found a very nice slogan, but awaken the heart by opening the mind. And actually that is the slogan I chose for my own organization. My organization is called Bodhicharya. Bodhicharya is a Sanskrit word, and it means Bodhisattva's action, or Bodhisattva's activity. And so, you know Bodhisattva. How many of you don't know about Bodhisattva? Okay.
Wie viele von euch kennen den Ausdruck Bodhisattva und
So, there are two or three people who doesn't know much about Bodhisattva. So maybe it's a good way to start from there. Because Bodhisattva is a very important concept and also practice. In Buddhism. Buddha always said that before he became a Buddha, for many, 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 many lifetimes, he was a Bodhisattva. And because of his training and practicing the path of the Bodhisattva, finally, 2600 years ago, he became a Buddha in India. So therefore, from Buddhist point of view, before one becomes a Buddha, one becomes a Bodhisattva. So what is a Bodhisattva? Bodhisattva is somebody who makes his or her kind of goal or purpose of life, that I would like to bring complete freedom from all kind of problem, suffering, pain, not only to myself, but to all people, all the sentient beings. And eventually, I want every being to be not only freed from all kind of causes and conditions and situations of pain, problem, suffering in their lives, but they have lasting happiness and lasting peace for all of them. And towards that end, I would like to work. However long it might take, however hard it might be, that would be my ultimate goal. If somebody, whether you are a man or a woman or an animal or any kind of being, who says that, who makes that as your main ultimate goal, is called a bodhisattva. You know, bodhi is the one, you know, one who has the bodhi is Buddha. Knowledge, wisdom, you know, you can call it awakening. Ones who has, in Buddhism we call it awakening or bodhi, because I think I am, okay, I'll just finish this sentence. Because it is understood from Buddhist point of view that all of us, actually in our true nature, is fine, no problem. But we are temporarily defiled. We are, you know, we have a kind of, we have some what can you say, cloud in our mind. We don't see things clearly. We don't know. We have some kind of temporary, you know, blind. And so therefore, if we can awaken ourselves, if we can understand and experience our true nature, then all our positive qualities of a human being, like great compassion towards everybody, kindness and compassion, wisdom, all positive qualities would be there. So therefore, if we can have that, if we can awaken that quality, then as a person, I would have no pain, no problem, no suffering, because I would not react with any kind of negativity. I will see things very clearly and differently from the way I see. And so therefore, I would have no problem myself. I would not suffer. And I would not cause any problems to others. So therefore, I would be called an enlightened mind, enlightened person. So that's why, from Buddhist point of view, everybody should try to work towards that end. So therefore, we should all try to become bodhisattvas, who has more wisdom, who has more kindness and compassion. And if that can happen, even a little bit, that would be enough to make the world like a heaven on earth. Because why we are having so much suffering on the earth, so much conflicts, so much war, so much problems that caused by human beings, is because we human beings have too much anger, too much hatred, too much greed, too much jealousy and envy, too much ignorance, and therefore we create all these problems, which brings lots of suffering for ourselves and lots of suffering for others. So therefore, to try to bring that transformation in our life should be an ideal thing, the most important thing. So therefore, you know, Bodhicharya, Bodhisattva's activities is something that we should all try to develop in ourselves. And to do that, we need to open our heart. And to open our heart, first we need to understand why and how. So that's why, you know, awaken our heart through opening the mind. You know, I was thinking that if all the people in the world, not even all the people, but most of the people in the world, were kind to each other, the world will become like a heaven on earth. Yeah? Because then there will be no war, there will be no atrocities, because people are kind to each other. And why do I say that most of the people, not all? I think if most of the people are like that or act like that, some who are not like that has to pretend to be like that. Yeah? And if you start to pretend, then it will slowly become real. I have a story to tell about this. You want to hear the story? I heard that there was one mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, you know. And this mother-in-law and daughter-in-law didn't like each other. They hated each other, you know. And then one time, the daughter-in-law went back to her home, and then she knew a doctor whom she could completely trust. She went to that doctor and said, "I have to request you something. Can you please give me a poison?" And he said, "Why do you want a poison?" "I want to kill my mother-in-law. I can't live with her. She is so bad. She is, you know, like a demon. And I hate her. I need to make her dead." Then the doctor thought a while and said, "Well, I can give you a poison, but maybe you should not give her a very strong poison, that she will immediately die. Because everybody knows that you two are not together, you hate her. And if she suddenly dies, everybody will suspect you. So maybe you should give a slow poison, you know. She will not immediately die, but she will slowly die. And then nobody can suspect that it was poison. But meanwhile, for some time, maybe a year or two, can you pretend to be nice to her? He said, yes, I can pretend to be nice to her for a year or two. That I can do. Okay, he said, then take this bottle of poison. You give a little bit of this in the food every day, and she will not get sick or anything like that, but eventually she will die. So take this. So she was very happy. She went home and started to give her the poison and pretended to be nice to her. And when she pretended to be nice to her, the mother-in-law also became nicer to her. And after 1 year, they became really good friends, because mother-in-law became very nice to her, and then daughter-in-law felt actually mother-in-law was not that bad. And then she thought, oh, she went back home to the doctor and said, can you give me some medicine to reverse the effect of that poison? And he said, why do you need that? He said, well, I really don't want my mother-in-law to die now. Actually, I started to be pretending to be nice to her, and she became nice, and then she became really nice to me, and so kind and so loving. Actually, she is a very nice lady. I don't want her to die at all. And I said, are you sure? He says, I'm definitely sure. I don't want her to die. Please give me some medicine so that all the effect of the poison can be reversed. And then he said, okay, if you really think like that, she will not die. Because I didn't give you a poison. What I gave you is actually a vitamin. So it's okay. So that's how it is, you know. So if most of the people pretend to be some people, they will become like that. But this is why I want to tell this story, is because, you know, okay, first you translate that. You know, we need to become more compassionate. But if I say that we all need to be more compassionate, people don't like that. People tell me, why can't I be angry? If somebody is doing something or saying something not nice, I have a right to be angry. Yes, everybody has a right to be angry. But that's not the issue. So you need to understand a little bit more deeply. And to understand more deeply, first we have to understand. We have to open our mind and understand clearly how things work. You know? So for instance, you know, I think that I very much like that everybody is kind to me. I want everybody to be kind to me. I want that everybody is friendly to me. I like that everybody show respect to me. No? Who doesn't want that? Anybody here who doesn't want that? So I think nobody wants that. You know, nobody, everybody wants that. Not only all of us, but even, you know, everybody in the world, and even everybody else, like even animals and things like that. They want it like that. But then, why people become angry and upset? Because they don't get that love. They don't receive love. They don't receive friendship. They don't receive, you know, the respect. And then they get upset, they get angry. Yeah. And if I, you know, it's not only that I feel very good if people are kind, friendly, and respectful to me. But if I can feel myself a little bit kind and friendly and nice and respectful to others, I feel very good. Yeah. I feel very good. I think there is nobody who says that, oh, this morning I had such a wonderful day. I was so angry. I was so upset, you know. I felt so unkind. You know, there's nobody like that. So therefore, feeling kind and good and friendly and this is good to feel from others, but also good to feel yourself towards others. Yeah. And not only that, but if we all felt like that, every problem in the world will be gone, you know. So why we don't do that, you know? It's hard to understand why we don't do what is best for us, best for everybody, and solve all our problems. But then we said that, yes, I want to feel like that, and I want, but others are not doing that. You know, they are angry. They are, you know, they're doing negative things. And when they are negative things, I should reply in a negative way. I should react in a negative way. But here, you know, we need to think again and understand that if I want people to be nice and kind to me, but somehow they are not nice and kind to me. So if I react with not nice and not kind, does that make things better? If I become angry, if I become hateful, if I react in a negative way, doesn't change that person, doesn't improve the situation. You know? So therefore, you know, if I can understand why people are and why I myself cannot be kind and compassionate and friendly. Because if I can do something on this, why I cannot be something that is good for me and good for others, then there must be some problem, you know. Because I know if I think properly, to be kind, to be nice, to be friendly, to be good towards others, is good for me and good for others. So therefore, why I can't do that? Because I have lots of... First, because I have, you know, lots of habits, habitual tendencies of reacting with anger, with hatred, with jealousy, with aggression, with, you know, we look, most of the time people look up. Anybody who is seems like better than yourself, we react with envy, and, you know, jealousy. He's so good. He has so much things. Envy. Those who seem to us worse or lower than ourselves, we look down. Oh, they are just like that. You know, I am up here. And those who looks like similar to us, we compete. You know, I should be better than. Competition all the time. So, where is friendship? I can't be friends better than us. I can't be friends worse than us. I cannot be friends similar to us. I can't have any friends. So therefore, if I can have no friends, I have to feel lonely. And if I feel lonely, I don't feel good. Yeah? So therefore, all these feelings, you know, anybody who looks a little bit better than us in certain situations, certain things like wealth, success, you know, education, power, whatever you call it, it seems that they are better than us, but they have their own problem. There's nobody who doesn't have problems. You know, poor people have poor people's problems. Rich people have rich people's problems. Yeah, famous people have famous people's problems. Infamous people have infamous people's problems. They all have problems. You know, it's kind of similar. It's slightly different, but so therefore, why can't I have same kind of kindness and compassion to people who are better than us? Same with everybody, same with the similar people, same with worse our people. So when I can see like this, when I can change a little bit my way of saying things, maybe I can treat everybody equally. I can treat everybody as my friends. Whether everybody reacts to me like that or not is different. But if I myself try to react in this way, more people will react to you like that. And so therefore, if I feel that I feel myself similar kindness, similar friendship, similar respectful to everybody, at least I make myself a kind man, kind woman, and satisfied person. That might not change the world, But I become a more kind and friendly and respectful person. And therefore, I would have not that much, you know, jealousy, looking down, too much kind of competition and things like that, but really nice feeling and attitude towards everybody. When I can get that little bit, you know, I can also see that all these negative feelings like anger and hatred and too much greed, too much attachment is also not good for me and not good for others. So when I can see that very clearly, because, you know, like in this world, we are always seeing lots of wars. And how much destruction and how much suffering these wars cause, we all know. It's killing each other, so many people die from both sides, so many people suffer losses, so many people, you know, it's immense suffering. Actually, nobody wins in the war. And when you understand this, you know, why do we have wars? Why do we make wars? If we look a little bit deeply, we can see that greed can be one of the most important causes of the wars. We want something from others. Somebody wants something from others. Want their land, want their resources, want their wealth, want their things like that. And that's then, in order to make this war, then we create hatred in the people. We divide people. We create hatred instead of love. We create misunderstanding instead of love and kindness and friendship. And then we have wars, we have conflicts, we have discordance, and all kind of sufferings and pain and problems happen. But this is not only in the national level, international level. The wars and all these kind of greed and too much attachment, too much hatred, too much. If I have it just in myself, even if I don't cause a war, my mind will become totally disturbed and unhappy and devastated. You know. So if we can see this, if we can understand this and see this very clearly with our mind, with our reasoning, with our observation, why do we need to react with this? We have to understand that it's not good. It's not good for me. It's not good for everybody. It's not good for the nation. It's not good for the humanity. We need to transform this. We need to change this. We need to do something so that more and more people would understand this. You know? So therefore, you know, if we can think in this way, if we can understand this way, if we can, you know, and then we need to understand that it has to start with myself. I cannot give it order, or I cannot make a, you know, like a announcement by some high official or president or prime minister that everybody has to be kind and compassionate to each other. That wouldn't work, you know. This is something that each and everybody has to understand in their own heart and mind, and then try to slowly live that. Yeah. And if that understanding can happen, that can then change their way of reacting and awaken their heart of compassion. Yeah. I feel that to transform ourselves with this is not necessarily easy, because we have very deep, you know, habitual tendencies. We have our culture, the world, it's very strong. But I think if we really understand, we can transform. I myself have this experience. When I was young, when I was a child, you know, I was fighting with everybody. I was good at fighting. Because I had a big strong head, you know. And so I used to fight with sometimes quite bigger boys than myself. And I used to go back a little bit and put my head down and run with my head on the belly of the opponent. And then the boy will fall off. And then I can beat him with my hands, with my feet, you know. And then if it didn't seem to hurt, I would bite, you know. And usually I win. And my people, you know, I come from Tibet. I come from a calm region of Tibet, eastern. People there are called warriors, you know. The Kampas are supposed to be warriors. And in that region, the culture is that they like, the boys especially, but girls also, to be brave. If you are not brave, you are nobody. You know? So they, you know, to show you are brave, you have to fight. So, you know, if you are brave, everybody says, that's a brave boy, you know. So, encourage, somehow they are encouraging you to fight, you know. And then I went to a school, monastic kind of school. And I studied one Buddhist text called Bodhicaya Avatara. And I had a very good teacher. So when I came back, I was changed. I didn't know I was changed. But people told me, he has become useless now. You know? They said, he's become like a fresh cow dung. You know? What is fresh cow dung? It's soft. It's warm and it's smelly. So they said that, you know, he's useless boy now. He has become like a fresh cow dung, you know. So I became like a fresh cow dung. But I'm not so unhappy. Since then I never fought. I never fought with anybody. But nobody bullied me also. You know? I have no experience of anybody bullying me since then till now. You know? And nobody, I go everywhere in the world. There's very few places where I haven't been. And I go in this strange dress, you know. But nobody was unkind to me. Nobody was disrespectful or, you know, negative at all, you know. So therefore, you know, if I am myself more nice, more peaceful, more kind, I think more or less people also. Of course, there are all kind of people. They have their own emotions, they have their own, you know, you cannot change all of them. But, you know, when people do negative things, you know, you understand that they are, you know, from their point of view, they are doing something good for themselves, you know. But they don't know what is good for them. Therefore, they do aggression, they do all negative actions, and that is actually, in the long run, not good for them. You know? So therefore, it's out of ignorance they are doing this. You know, they want to do something good for themselves, but actually, because they don't understand, that's why, you know. So therefore, I don't feel totally hateful to them. I don't like if somebody does something negative, but I don't hate that, because I understand that they're under the influence of very negative, wrong views, wrong way of saying. So therefore, you know, I don't wish them bad. I wish that they understand. I wish that they transform. I wish that they also change, and wish them well. So therefore, you know, I think this is, if we react in this way, you know, it will be less problem for ourselves and more good for everybody. And more people can understand this and react this way. Then, you know, possibly, you know, even the world can change. Because changing the world in one way is very difficult, because it's so many people, it involves so many different types of beings. But in another way, if you really understood very clearly that we have to be kind to each other and we show our kindness to each other, from tomorrow the world is changed. It's that easy in a way, you know. So therefore, you know, I think it is never a wastage of time or efforts, that if we start to do something with ourselves, because it's not possible to change everybody, but we can change ourselves a little bit. And if we can become a little bit even kinder and nicer, that will be better for us, more peaceful, more joyful, more less negative feelings, and therefore more peaceful. I know a story about a priest, Christian priest, he asked people to write down these words on his tombstone. This tombstone is supposed to be in Edinburgh, in Scotland. I haven't seen it, but I heard this. It is said that this old father, when he was dying, he told his people to write down this on his tombstone. And what he wrote is this: when I was young, I wanted to change the whole world. And I prayed to Lord God, please, Lord God, give me the strength and the power to change the whole world. And I tried my best. But when I became old, I found that nothing changed. But then I realized that first I have to change my dear and near ones. And if I change my dear and near ones, taking them as an example, the world might change. Then I prayed, please, Lord God, give me the power and wisdom to change my dear and near ones. And I tried my best. But when I became very old, I found out nobody changed. But I realized that in order to change my dear and near ones, first I have to change myself. And then maybe taking that as an example, the world might change. So now I pray to Lord God, please give me the wisdom and power to change myself. And I try my best. But alas, it's too late. So maybe we should try a little bit quicker. Maybe I should stop here, and if you have any questions. Yes.
I want to know your opinion on humbleness. How important is it in Buddhism? I personally think it's not so important, but I'll see
you. You know, it depends on how you understand it, you know. Humbleness can be a very good quality. Because, you know, usually, it is said that when somebody looks humble, that means that person knows that that there is a lot to learn, and there are lots of people who have much more qualities. So therefore, those people who understand that there are people who are more qualified, there are people from whom you can learn, there are people in the world who can, you know, teach you a lot, then you become humble. The more you know, the more humbler you become. It is said that when you are not very learned, then you think that you know everything. Yeah? You know little more. They say it like this. Actually, this is a little bit true. You know, I have actually more or less seen this. We have lots of problems nowadays with teenagers. No? What does teenagers do? They don't respect their parents. They don't respect their their teachers and elders, they think that they know better than all of them. Yeah? Do they know better than their parents and their teachers? Not. But they think they know. That's why they don't listen to anybody. So therefore, when some, not all teenagers, but some teenagers, parents are afraid, you know, say, I have a teenager at home, you know, as if they have a kind of a monster at home. they're always upset, they're always angry, they're always dissatisfied, like that. Why? They don't know anything, but they think they know. When they pass through the school and college, they become better. They don't become, they know that there are lots of things they don't know. Then they have changed. You know, they are not that arrogant. They are not, you know, they're a little bit less arrogant. And they're a little bit more humble because they know that they don't know everything. When they go to the university, they do PhD. Then they become much less arrogant because they know that they know very little. You know, because they have studied a little bit more, they know lots of things. So they know that there's so much to learn, there's so much. So then they become more humble, you know. So this is, you know, there's some great scholars used to say that, I know that I know nothing, you know. So therefore, the more you know, the more you know, how much more you can learn. So you become humbler, yeah? You become humbler.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Um das schnell zu übersetzen, falls das jemand braucht.
I have a question about bullies. Sometimes, like when there's a bully, like, it's becoming more and more over time, yeah? When I feel like, or some people, when the person doesn't react to the bully, like is peaceful or just lets it happen, then sometimes the bully becomes worse over time. Or like, I'm thinking, like for example, of two situations, like one is like a child who's a little bit fat and then he was bullied in the school. And then more and more children started bullying him, yeah, because he was fat. And the other situation is like, for example, like Ukraine war. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, people are thinking like Russia wanted to take a part of Ukraine, and if Ukraine like wouldn't have stopped, like then maybe Russia thinks, oh, then I can take this part. Like, if they would have given this part of land, then they think maybe later on, they want to take more parts of land. So, how to react to situations like that? What do you think is wise to react to situations like
that? Of course, this is. The world, you know, the world now is always, has been like this, the big fish eating the small fish and all these things is always there, you know. There's nothing about right or wrong, it's like, you know, doing that. And that's why all these problems. Usually my experience is that people, you know, when you are small, especially when you are small, but it doesn't have to be small, it can be at any age, try to kind of, you can call it bully. I mean, it's not necessarily always, you know, bully is a word which has another word and another meaning. But it doesn't start with bully, it starts with playing, it starts with reacting, you know. If I am fat and somebody says, you are fat, so then I am not, you know, I am angry and I'll try to fight back. Every time somebody says you are fat, you get angry. Then everybody says you are fat because they want to make you, you know, react. If people say you are fat, I say, okay, if I'm fat, I'm fat. So if I laugh, nobody will say anything. Yeah? Because if I accept what I am, they can't, it is not a joke. It's nothing funny, yeah? But if you say you are fat or you look like something and then you say, you know, then everybody start to say that. I know this from my own experience, you know? So therefore, actually for the children in this situation is not to react, but laugh, you know. And then usually they do once, twice, and then they kind of, it's not very interesting.
When somebody says something stupid to me, wants to put anger to me, and wants my reaction, then I find it very difficult sometimes I manage. Sometimes I find it difficult not to react. And I realize I have to take the time, not react immediately, and then I try to look inside, why is it hard not to react? And then I realize sometimes that it is kind of like a pain, and then I wonder, why is that pain? Because somebody says something stupid. Why is that pain? And I have to give it time to think, and then I don't have to react anymore. But sometimes it's really hard not to react, and I fight with myself. And I think to myself, no, stay calm, because I don't want to make more war. I don't want to make anger, because if I react, the other person will react again, and it will never stop. So I try to keep it low. Very difficult.
Yeah, that's one of the methods, you know. Like when somebody does something or says something that you don't like, you know, you have aversion or you have problem with, then usually our habitual tendency of whatever emotion is more habitually that arise, you know, that reaction naturally kind of happens, you know. You can angrily, you can get hurt, you can get upset, you can get all different kind of, you know, reactions happens. Now, the idea is that you have to, you know, if you have some mindfulness means that if you have some idea or, you know, you catch that, yes, I'm reacting, I'm about to react or I am reacting like this, and if you react in this way, as you have rightly understood, then it's no use. It doesn't going to give any real, you know, good thing or purpose thing to come, I say to do this, what I want to react will just maybe hurt somebody else and will not stop him or her to react in this way. There more problem, it will not solve any issues. And it is not good to react like that. When I understand this, then if you can stop for a while, if you can delay the reaction, usually that solves the problem. Because any emotion we have, you know, our emotions can be very strong. You know, anger is a very strong emotion. You know, any kind of emotion is a very strong emotion, you know. It can, you know, if you are really angry, you can hurt somebody, you can kill somebody, you know. And same with your other emotions also. But all these emotions have one weakness, that they are impermanent. You know, however strong your emotion is, a little bit time passed and it's gone. You know, it changes. So therefore, you need to delay the reaction. That's the, you know, if you delay the reaction, sometimes they suggest that if you are really very upset or want to react in a very bad way, you slowly count up to 9. And if you get to, you know, 1, 2, if you come up to 9, you want to react in a different way. You know, because it's that shortly changed. So therefore, you know, if you just delay your reaction, it automatically changes. So it's not impossible to delay your reaction for 1 or 2 minutes, yeah? And if you can delay till next morning, it'll be another. It's been proved, you know. There's a book about American presidents by John F. Kennedy. He wrote a book on all the American presidents. And he said that in that book, I think it was George Washington, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that he used to receive letters from his generals from, you know, when this war was going on. And then immediately he would write a reply to these letters. But he would not send it immediately. He would sleep over. And next morning he would review this letter and then he would write another one. But he kept these original letters in the record. It's still there in the White House. So John F. Kennedy said that if he had sent these letters, the first letters that he wrote, the history of America would have been totally different. You know, it's so different. So because he slept over it and then wrote a new letter, so the things became much different. Then, so it's like that, you know, especially for important people, you know. So therefore, you know, it's important that we don't react too quickly and too, you know, especially if it is a negative one. And we become a little bit mindful and then see what the reaction is and whether it's a positive one or not. And then if it is not a positive one, a little bit delay the reaction. That's the right way. So thank you very, very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.